I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No. My strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and the mountains.
Desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe in this broken generation. When all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe. We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again.
Welcome. Thank you very much for logging on for this Easter morning's celebration service. Of course, the reality is every Sunday morning is a celebration of the resurrection of Christ. That's why we worship on Sunday. The Sunday is the resurrection day of our Lord. But once a year, we set aside this time and we really focus on His resurrection, the life that we have through His resurrection. So this morning we have a special service prepared for you, special songs prepared for you. We are really looking to minister to your heart and soul today. But even above that, we're looking to honor, lift up, and exalt our Lord. So let's go to Him in prayer as we start this morning service. Father in heaven, we come before you and we do thank you for the resurrected Christ. For Lord, we know that you left heaven above. You took upon yourself the form of a man. You lived, you died, you were buried. But more important than any of those is that you resurrected. For you conquered death as only you can do. And Lord, in that victory, in that power, in that manifestation of your deity is the very power of salvation for every single one of us. And Lord, we look to you, we trust in you, we rest in you this day. For we certainly know that if you could conquer death, if you could resurrect from the grave, you certainly can walk through any valley that we might be in our lives today. Help us, guide us, that we might exalt you. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen. I have for you this morning a scripture reading. I'd like you, maybe even at home, take your Bible or your electronic device. Go with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 24. And I'm going to read to you verses 1 down through 12. I encourage you right there at home. Maybe you yourself would like to read aloud with me. That's great. You're not going to bother me at all. I won't feel interrupted. You just go ahead and read as loud as you want, right along with me. So let's look in Luke chapter 24, verses 1 down through 12. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others made with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. When we read this account, it certainly stirs our hearts, and we do just as Peter. It says that, in that very last verse I read to you, it says that he himself said, as he beheld that empty tomb and the linen cloths laid there, as he left that place, he left there in wonder at what had come to pass. And so you and I, as we go into this Easter morning service, in wonder, in amazement, we look at our resurrected Lord, his power, for even at this very moment, at the right hand of the Father, he intercedes for you and us. We need to cry out, Hallelujah. Just like we talked about last week, you and I celebrate our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to start off with some songs this morning. We have Ashley and John going to lead us. He's going to lead us in He Lives and Oh, Praise the Name. And we're so grateful for both of them preparing for this Easter service. I know they dressed in their best. They're looking sharp because it's Easter Sunday morning. I'm hoping that you're in your very best bathrobe this morning and you are ready to worship as we worship the Lord. Here you go.
Just the time I need him, he's all.
Thank you very much, John and Ashley. That was a blessing. Very much appreciated. And at this time, we actually have Billie Jo. She is going to sing for us, Christ Our Hope and Life or Death. And we appreciate her popping by this week. And she came in a side door, came up here, and recorded this with John so that she could minister to you on Easter Sunday morning. That. I do have just a couple quick announcements to make, just kind of connect with you at home. I am certainly hopeful that you received at your house, if you're part of our church and on our mailing list, we sent you a palm cross, also some little chocolate crosses as well, because months ago we ordered all of these things for Easter Sunday. And so those things were in place, we had them. And we tried to think of a way that we could extend to you a little piece of Easter Sunday morning. Your palm cross, as you notice, if you pick it up and look at it, it's empty, isn't it? Jesus is not on the cross because he's resurrected. That's why we do not use crucifixes where Jesus is on the cross, because he's not on the cross. He is in heaven at the right hand of the Father, alive, ministering, interceding for us. He is our advocate. And so praise the Lord for that. I hope that you have your palm cross. And if you're watching this morning and you'd like to have one, you did not get one, if you will call the office, I know we have some more, and as many as we have, we would be very happy this week to mail you a palm cross. Maybe, I think we have some of the little chocolate crosses left too. We'll send you one of those as well. I do want to extend to you a thanks for all of you that have been sending in your offerings to the church, either by mail, or a number of you have done it electronically, gone through the website and sent an offering. And we're very grateful for that. For the ministry here is continuing to go forward as much as we are capable of doing that, both for the food shelf, and don't forget that that's available to you. Also, we have the Ark Preschool that's working, and then, of course, John and I are coordinating all the different pieces of that and ministering as we can. So I'm very thankful to you that have been faithful in sending your tithes and offerings. So at this time, what I'm going to do is turn it right back to John and Ashley, and they're going to lead us in a couple more songs. Worship Christ, the risen King, the living hope. And It Is Well. Now, It Is Well is requested by Julie and Norman Oak over in New Hampshire, and then Rick Gilbert as well. They both requested that, and I've mentioned to you, if you have a favorite hymn that you would like us to insert in either the Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night service, if you'll contact us by email or phone, text us, whatever you want to do, we'll add you to that list and pop that into one of the services. So connect with us. Keep in touch. We want to minister to you. John.
Come and worship, come and worship, worship.
My hope and prayer is that certainly it is well with your soul this morning. No matter what is transpiring in your life at this moment, if you will rest in Him and trust in Him, then you will also experience that peace which passeth understanding, for it is well with our soul. And now at this time, Jenny Dobson and John is going to minister to us in a special entitled King of Kings. I like to do on special Sundays and every once in a while on a regular Sunday is I like to find a very inspirational and stirring video that just kind of adds a little extra something to the service. Don't do it every week, because I think if you do something every single week, after a while it kind of becomes old. But this is a little video clip that I wanted to bring to you. We John and I, we sat down, we went through many different ones, and this one I think speaks well to our hearts on this particular Easter Sunday morning. So we have for you a video clip entitled "None Like You." Very good. This morning, my message, the sermon I have for us, is out of the book of Acts. So if you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 2, I'm going to read to you our text, Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 32. And so I'd like you to listen as I read that. Certainly fine with me if at home you read along. As I mentioned a little bit ago, it's not gonna impair me in any way. And it might actually help you to remember the text just a little bit better. So Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to read to you verses 22 on down to 32. "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins according to the flesh he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. When we look at this text, we find in the book of Acts, as the Acts of the Apostles are exposed, as it unfolds the works of the early church, we find this message brought forth for all to hear about the resurrected Savior. You know, it's interesting, we start off in verse 22, we find that he makes the point very, very clear that Jesus Christ is a man approved of God. As he was speaking to those people that were before him that day, he wanted them to understand, as he spoke of Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, the Anointed One, approved of God. And of course, that makes us remember back in Scripture, doesn't it? If you'll think back with me to Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, I'll read it for you. It says, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So when we look at this text and we see that statement that, listen, he is a man approved of God, we reflect back upon when Christ was baptized. It says that John took him out into the river Jordan. There he baptized him under the water. And when he came up forth from that, from God, from heaven above, was the declaration that the Lord Jesus Christ was God's beloved Son, in whom he was well pleased. When you look back with me in our text there in Acts chapter 22, look with me as it says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, signs, which God did by him in the midst." It's an amazing thing when you read through the four Gospels and you look at the miracles of Christ, for they are awesome and wondrous. Oh, listen, throughout time there have been those who try to cast doubt, that they're skeptics who approach the Bible and they try to make out that all Christ's miracles were fictitious tales. Listen, skeptics, doubters will always be with us. But I will tell you, for somebody who they say was not real, didn't really do miracles, it's an interesting thing that he turned the entire world upside down by his life and his death. In fact, right now, when you go ahead and pick up your cell phone, if you'll pick up that cell phone, right on your cell phone this morning, when that comes alive, when that screen comes open, you find a testament to the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's going to have a date on the screen of your phone. So for somebody who people mock and make fun of, for somebody who they say didn't do the miracles, for somebody who they try to say is a fictitious tale, isn't it interesting that the world dates according to his life and his death? Yeah, I think the skeptics need to step back and take a deep breath and understand that our Lord Jesus Christ, he is absolutely, as Peter is saying here, a man approved of God. Approved of God by his miracles, his wonders, by the signs that God did through him. The Gospel of John gives to us seven signs of the deity of Jesus Christ. Water to wine in John chapter 2, verses 3 through 11. The healing of the nobleman's son in John chapter 4, verses 46 through 54. His healing of the crippled man in John chapter 5, verses 2 through 9. The feeding of the 5,000 in John chapter 6, verses 5 through 14. Christ walking on the water, John chapter 6, verses 15 through 21. New eyes for the blind man, John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. And then the last of them, Lazarus raised from the dead, John chapter 11, verses 3 through 44. When we look at the Gospel of John and he reveals to us the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ, yes, we see the miracles, the wonders, and the signs that he is approved of God. You and I this morning, as we worship him, as you and I look to him as the resurrected Lord, we understand that he is God in the flesh, approved of God, sent to pay for your sins and mine, but resurrected that he might have the power of life. As we go back to our text here in Acts chapter 2, I want you to see my second point. The first point was that Jesus Christ was, he could not be held. Why? Because he was a man approved of God. He could not be held in that tomb because he was crucified and slain by the knowledge, the foreknowledge of God. Look with me, if you would, down to verse 23. This didn't take God by surprise. It didn't take Jesus by surprise. All foretold by the prophets of old. Listen with me, if you would, at verse 23. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. I want you to notice in that verse that Peter makes it clear that the Lord Jesus Christ, while yes, he was crucified, and yes, he's resurrected, he says, I want you to understand that he was delivered by the determined counsel of God. God had set that in place. He had put it in motion from the very beginning. He knew what needed to happen. And also, it's interesting, he uses that phrase there, verse 23. It says, by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. You see, God is not confined by you and my time. We live within the box of time that God created for us. But that's not his box. In fact, the scriptures teach us that a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day to God. He's not confined in the same little box you and I are confined in. You know, we're lucky to see 100, 110 years. I mean, you're a fortunate person if you've lived that old. God is eternal. He is not confined to that box. You and I, we rest in a God who is almighty. And even right now, your circumstances, I want you to understand that God knows. Just as he knew through his foreknowledge of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he knew through his foreknowledge about your circumstances today. You can rest in him and trust in him and know that he is there with you. I want you to look down with me in our text to our third point, and that is a powerful point because it is simply this: he rose from the dead. You see, the title of our message, it was not possible to hold him. It's not possible to hold him because he's God. And he rose from the dead. Look with me down at verse 24 in our text. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Now I want you to catch that. It was not possible for him to remain in that grave. God had foreordained, he, through his foreknowledge, through his counsel, he had put into place the motions of all that would transpire, including the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 55, 56, and 57, it says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The victory over death. There is no sting when it's in the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Very commonly, when I do a funeral, people will request Psalm 23 to be read. And it's Psalm 23 where it talks about that He will walk through the very valley of the shadow of death with us. You see, death has no power over God. Death has no power over our Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I, who have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you and I that are born again children of God, death has no power over us either. Well, yes, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. The scriptures clearly teach us that Christ bears our very soul. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You and I, we have victory over death. In eternal life. So when we look at our Lord Jesus Christ and the power of that resurrection, we understand that it was impossible, according to verse 24, for that grave to hold him. Just as you and I, when we put our faith and trust, when we call upon him for salvation, it is impossible for us to remain in that grave, for us to go to an eternal state of death. But instead, we are quickened, the Bible says. We are made alive in Christ. Old things pass away. All things become new. Christ told us it's being called born again. We have eternal life in Him. He could not remain in the grave. The resurrection is such an important and essential part of our faith. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I want you to note how that's connected. Our very salvation, when we call out to God and we say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I accept you into my heart and into my life, He says, if you will believe with the sincerity of your heart that Christ has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It is an essential part of our Christian faith. In fact, turn with me if you would. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want to read to you verses 19 down through 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 19 down through 23. It says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all, of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and afterwards they that are Christ's at his coming. You and I rest in Christ. He has power over death. He is alive. That grave could not hold him. Just as you and I, he being the first fruits of the resurrection, you and I also have newness of life in him. The last point I want you to see with me is in verses 25 and on down in Acts chapter 2. As Peter preached that message, as he brought forth these truths for these men and women to hear that day, so also I want to bring to you the way he tied it into the Old Testament prophecies. Because he wanted them to understand that the life and the death and the crucifixion, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, his ascension into heaven, these things were not things that just happened because of the tumult of the crowd and the circumstances of the religious and political environment of the day he lived in. These things were planned by God from old. So that's why when we come down here to verse 25, we find him quoting out of the book of Psalms. He's going to quote to us out of Psalms chapter 16, verses 8 through 11. But I'm going to read it to you out of Acts chapter 2 as we pick it up there in verse 25 on down. Listen to what he says. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. For he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. So here you find Peter quoting David out of Psalm 16, verses 8 down through 11. We see him bring forth these truths. In fact, look with me as we pick it up in verse 29, as he readdresses the crowd before him. He says, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of patriarch the David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. He tells the crowd there, he says, I want you to understand, when I quote to you David, we're not talking about somebody who's alive and with us. We're talking about the patriarch who is dead, buried, and his sepulcher remains. At that time, they knew where it was. He says, you know who I'm talking about. It's David who spoke of our resurrected Lord. Listen to what he goes on to say in verse 30. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Peter wanted them to remember that this Jesus Christ, he could not. It was impossible for him to be held within the tomb. It was impossible for the grave to hold him in death. But Jesus Christ arose. He is alive. Even at this very moment, we know he ascended up into heaven, and there he abides today. Now, we know that the scriptures teach us that there will be a return, a second coming of Christ, and he shall rule and reign, even as this text references, on the very throne of the lineage of David. But we're not there today. Today, we're here, and our Lord, he is alive. Your circumstances do not pass his knowledge. He is fully aware of all that's transpiring in your life. When you go down and you look at this text, look with me if you would, down to verse 32. It says, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. You and I this morning, we are witnesses of the resurrected Savior. Our faith, our Christian walk, our confidence, our peace, our boldness is all a witness to the living Christ in us and through us. This morning, as you're in your home, I want you to know that the living Christ is with you. For if you've received Christ into your heart and into your soul, the Bible teaches us that he dwells within you. Do you remember in the book of Revelation that it tells us that he said, I stand at your heart's door and I knock. And if any man will hear my voice and let me in, he says, I will come and sup with him. You and I today, the resurrected Savior, he dwells within us as the Holy Spirit. You and I rest in him. This morning, if you've never received Christ, if you've never turned from your sins and turned to him and called upon him and accepted him, please do it today. Reach out to him in prayer that you might have the salvation that he offered by dying on the cross. And if today you've done that, if you've called upon him and you've received him today because of this message and this circumstance you're in, and you would like us to follow up and minister to you, please reach out to us. You can reach out to us easily through our website. You can reach out to us through texting us or the phone, where it's all there on the website. We want to minister to you. This week, actually, I had two folks who reached out to us after last Sunday's message and asked that I would send them follow-up books that we might minister to them. We want to do that for you as well. Thank you for coming and worshiping with us today. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we come before you. And Lord, we rejoice in your resurrection. We are so aware that there's no way that grave could have held you. Lord, we are so thankful that through your resurrected life, we are offered the newness of life that could only come from you. And I pray, Lord, that you'd stir hearts this morning, that folks would see their need to call upon you for salvation, and at this very moment, they would call upon you, accept you as their Savior, repenting of their sin, confessing their faith, that they might be born again. We praise you, Lord. We thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.